Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live today from the beautiful studios of KKNW here in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle. I want to thank everyone so much for listening today. It's a beautiful day here in Seattle. We're getting some, I hope to get some sunshine, but I want to thank you so much for supporting Out of This World Radio. Out of This World Radio is the one of the fastest growing metaphysical and spiritual radio programs in the world, with over a quarter of a million listeners in over 90 countries. And I know that with everyone's help, we can make this earth a much, much, much better place. I received word from Simon Parks yesterday that he would be coming on today, so we're trying to reach him now. Simon, if you are listening, please call the studio or call us on Skype. We tried him a few minutes ago, couldn't get through to him. We've had a lot of communications troubles getting through to Simon, and I sincerely hope that we can get him on. He's supposed to be on in the next few minutes. Then the second hour from 3 to 3:15, I'll be interviewing Jason Armstrong. He's a wonderful fellow. He's from Vancouver, Canada, and he'll be channeling messages from Adama from the city of Telos in the hollow earth beneath Mount Shasta. I'll be returning to Mount Shasta next month from September 5th to the 11th. Mount Shasta is a very special and magical place where miracle healings occur from the Telosians. When I was there in September of 2018, they healed the eyesight in my eyes, restoring them to perfect, crystal clear eyesight with 20/10/10 vision. Other people have had their legs healed, and one gentleman who had Lou Gehrig's disease in September of 2018 was completely cured of that disease as well. If you're interested in coming, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. The cost is only $200 per person. It includes free camping. Then following that, from 3:15 about 4 p.m., we'll be doing prayers for Fukushima, Hiroshima, and Nagasaki. Today, August 9th, is the anniversary of the dropping of the atomic bomb on Nagasaki. This, of course, was preceded by the dropping of the atomic bomb on Hiroshima on August 6th. And we have several interesting and wonderful people coming on, including first Michiko Hayashi of the Emoto Peace Project from Tokyo, who will be giving prayers for Fukushima. She'll be followed by the famous author James Redfield of the Celestine Prophecy, Mary Hansen from Seattle, from Hiroshima to Hope Peace Committee, and many others. And I hope you'll be able to join in those prayers. Before we start, I'd like to thank everyone so much for this, so much for their support for this radio program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I really appreciate your help and support, because I know together we can create a much better and happier world. I also would like to thank my friends Corey and Saul in Kirkland for their wonderful support, and especially their generous contribution for a new library for the Hopi Indians in Arizona. Also, I'd like to thank my wonderful friends Mary and Elias in Costa Rica, Bradley and Gemma in London, England, Jan Erik and Emma Louise in Norway, and everyone around the world who've helped me raise consciousness and make this world a better place. We're also looking for additional sponsors and advertisers for the show, and any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services in over 90 countries, with over 250,000 listeners. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's been doing wonderful work for years designing my website, as well as my friends in the Galactic Alliance, my angelic and earthly family, and of course Eric here at the studio. I couldn't do the show without him. I have a special spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides, and if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who've passed on or contact your angelic guides and get some good spiritual advice, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me on my phone here in the U.S. at 509-750-9793, or toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. I want to thank also the Yelm Washington Public Library that has just donated 200 children's books for the new Hopi Library. They're wonderful people, and I just want to thank them so much for their wonderful support. I'll be going back again, as I said, to Mount Shasta from September 5th to the 11th, and there is some room left for people. It's filling up fast, though. We always see many UFOs at Mount Shasta. It's a portal to the hollow earth. We also see lots of Sasquatch. During July, when I was down at Mount Shasta, the Sasquatch kept stealing our food until we gave them the white frosted cinnamon rolls, and then they stopped. I've worked down an agreement with them that if we provide them with lots of treats, they'll leave us alone. So if you do come on the trip, be sure to bring lots of white frosted non-GMO cinnamon rolls. I'm also continuing to raise clean water for both the Hopi and Navajo Indians in Arizona. The water on both the Hopi and Navajo Indian lands have been contaminated by carcinogenic radiation and arsenic for well over 70 years. Amazing, isn't it? Many of us here in the United States and other countries in Canada, we take for granted perhaps our clean water. But there, among the Hopi, it's completely poisonous, with no help from our federal or state governments. But for only $125, you can donate to buy a new clean water filter for either the Hopi or the Navajo, so they can have clean water without arsenogenic radiation or arsenic for many years. If you'd like to donate toward this worthy effort, please email me at outoftheworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. I wanted to tell you all some wonderful events coming up. Tomorrow, on Saturday, August 10th, I'll be giving readings at the wonderful Crystal Cove on Arcadia Road in Shelton. Then on the following Saturday, August 17th, I'll also be giving readings at the South Tacoma Psychic Fair off of 54th Street at the Masonic Temple in South Tacoma from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And then finally, on Saturday, August 24th, I'll be giving readings at the Ocean Shores Psychic Fair in Ocean Shores, Washington. It's a beautiful location. I hope you can come. All of these events are free, by the way. Then on Saturday, September 14th, I'll be hosting my own Galactic Wisdom Fair at 9101 Stillicum Road in Olympia, Washington. The event's free, and I hope you can come. I'll be giving readings there, as well as there will be also crystal sellers. Carolyn and Jerry White will be doing their wonderful aura readings, and many other spiritual people. If you're a vendor would like to come, please send me an email to outoftheworld1150@gmail.com. The cost for a table is just $50. And I will also be giving a presentation and giving out material on Tom Palladino's wonderful Scalar Energy Healing Program, which really works. Tom has a wonderful program where he simply takes your picture and he runs it through his Tesla machinery in Florida, and he adjusts your vibrations so that healing can occur. He's a wonderful man, and he has a free 15-day program. If you're interested, please send me an email to outoftheworld1150@gmail.com. While we're trying to get Simon on the line, I'd like to bring on Sonia Lagar. She's a wonderful singer. And, sorry? Okay, here's Sonia's song now. I'd like to play this here for a minute or two to introduce you to her beautiful work. And then I'll bring Sonia on in just a minute after that.
Triste eleison,
Wow, what beautiful music. Sonia, are you there?
I'm here, thanks.
Great, great. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and how did you get interested in doing this beautiful kind of music?
Oh, thanks. Well, thank you for having me on.
Oh, sure.
This music sort of evolved from meditation. I was doing a lot of mantras, and I've noticed how it helps to calm the mind and bring yourself into a more grounded state. So this project that I'm working on, I'm making an EP with a handful of mantra tracks, and so that was one of them. And I'd like to blend a whole bunch of different types of mantras into the same album, just to kind of shed some light on how different cultures bring you to the same place. And the 444 hertz frequency is something that I'm really passionate about, and I'm sure that you already know, but maybe not everybody knows, that it was discovered by Wilfred Otto Schumann in 1952. And basically, the music that we hear now is tuned to 440 hertz, which is not harmonious with our being. It's not connected to our natural frequencies.
Right.
So from that discovery, to tune it to a natural frequency, it would have to be changed to 432. And 444 was then discovered to be the frequency of love. So that's why I like to use it, and just to kind of bring that sense of energy in with the music.
Wonderful, wonderful. You know, the history. You know, the history of the change from 432 to 440 hertz was done by the Nazis in originally.
Yes.
They created they changed the tone, the standard for European music, and by extension the Western standard in the United States has also changed from 432 to 440, because Hitler found that when you played music to 440, it made people agitated and they wanted people to gear up for a wartime economy.
And and the American government then made it a standard for all musical equipment as well after
right. I don't think we need war anymore, personally. And when, you know, when people listen to music, they want to be calm. They want to listen to, like, your music or Beethoven or Mozart or any of their favorite. You can see where my bias is toward. But they want to listen to music to relax, regardless of what kind of music it is. And they don't want to be agitated, and they don't want to gear up for World War III. So clearly the 440 standard instituted by Adolf Hitler back in Germany, in the Nazi Germany in the 30s and 40s, is inappropriate for today. And certainly it would be nice to have that changed. But I want to thank you so much for your work. How can people get a hold of you or get copies of your wonderful work?
They can follow me on my YouTube account, which is Sonia J. Lagare.
Okay.
I also have a Facebook account under the same name. And if anyone wants to directly contact me through email, would be SoniaJLagare@gmail.com.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Great. Well, Sonia, thank you so much for your wonderful work, and I'm so happy you could make it on today.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks so much, Sonia. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, friends, that was Sonia Lagare, and she does this beautiful music, and I'm so happy she could come on today. You know, it's a sad thing. I've tried now. This happened last Friday where Simon disappeared. I sent him, I don't know how many emails. I finally got a response, and he said he'd be happy to come on today. But unfortunately, he's not on Skype, and his internet, there is a post on Simon's website today about a massive electrical failure, major power failures in the United Kingdom, and that could be happening as we speak today. And he writes, planes and trains are stuck with many traffic signals out of action. So this could be happening now where Simon is, and we wish him well. If he can hear us, Simon, we'd love to have you on. Just call the studio at 425-373-5527. But if you're without electricity and out there in the English countryside and can't get, we'll just schedule you again for next week. I do have a backup I can play, but I do want to make some announcements. I do want to go over a few things that Simon had on his post and on his website, including the prevention of voter fraud in preparation for the 2020 elections, the tragic Ohio and Texas shootings. He writes, there can be no coincidence that one terrible shooting has followed on the back of another. I don't believe in coincidence, he writes, and we should look for the links and driving forces behind this so we can begin to understand who, what, where, and when. What's interesting about these shooters is that they're all lone gunmen. They say they're lone gunmen. And they almost always get killed at the end, so you can't ask any questions. And every time this happens, there's always a call for more restrictions or taking away our guns here in America, of course, which is protected by the Second Amendment of the Constitution. But it's almost too convenient to have these kinds of tragic episodes happening. But I hope they do find the culprits behind this. He also has written about an unconfirmed report of a possible Bill Clinton arrest attempt. And it's interesting how now, well after, years after the 2016 presidential election, you don't hear about Hillary Clinton or Bill Clinton, for that matter, anymore. And you kind of wonder what's going on. There's quite a few more things he has on his website. And I hope for Simon's sake that he's okay. Please send him lots of love and light today. He was scheduled to be on. And I just, again, heard from him yesterday saying he would be on. So we'll have to find another way to broadcast him. There was one more thing I want to mention on his website. He said that there is an effort now to storm Area 51, of all things. That's a secret base, of course, near in Nevada, where they say that that there are aliens there assisting the U.S. government in building extraterrestrial craft. If there's over 1 million signatures on the Facebook page to storm Area 51, and it's going to be amazing to see what happens with that in the next couple of months. I do have a backup. The backup is with a recording I did with Jane Stanfield. She is a survivor of the secret space program. Some of the details are pretty amazing what she discusses. So I guess we'll go ahead and play that now, Eric. And if we are able to get Simon later during this first hour, we'll bring Simon on. In the meantime, I hope you will enjoy this segment of a pre-recording, and I'll be coming back in about 35 minutes or so. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening today. Hello, friends. I have a wonderful lady named Jane Stanford with me today, and she was with the Secret Space Program. And Jane, tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. Well, I have realized I've had a number of experiences throughout my life, but I didn't remember anything at all until about age 38. Then I began having memories of things that happened to me from around the age of 3. So it's been a lot of experiences and a lot of uncovering of stuff. But I just want to say at the beginning that I feel like it's been a long road of healing, but also I'm very grateful. It's been a road of forgiveness and letting go of anger and healing so that I can go forward. So I consider this a gift, actually, and that I'm stronger for it.
Is the anger, if you don't mind me asking, from the some horrific things which were done to you as a small girl?
Yes, they were horrific, and it was a process to work through the anger and the fear and the terror. It began when I was about 3. My parents, my dad, kicked me and broke my bones, and then later on, my mom would. Her eyes would go dark, and then she chased me and stabbed me with a kitchen knife.
How old were you when that happened?
I think that was between 5 and 10, age 5 and 10. And then there was another, she sexually abused me as well, and there was another experience where she I believe she was drowning me in the sink, and I left my body and had to make a decision whether to go back. I remember being out in space with other beings that I knew and had to make a decision about going back. And I knew I had work to do, and it was important, and so I decided to come back.
From a soul perspective, why is it that you ended up with this particular set of parents who were very awful to you?
Yeah. I have seen that. I've been with these parents in many previous lifetimes. So, and they've been my parents. They've been kind of non-believing in psychic stuff. It's been a pattern. So from what I've remembered so far, these parents, I believed that I could fix them and heal them, which came from a productive place. But I believed that I could fix them and heal them. So it was kind of my mission to fix them and heal them. I kept having lifetime after lifetime with them to heal them when they weren't.
It's a little bit like codependency and alcoholism, where you think you can fix or heal your partner or spouse, and it's impossible.
Very much so. Oh, very much so. So I kind of saw that and realized that and said, okay, that pattern, that cycle is done now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Wow. Well, it took you from age 3 to 38 to remember some of the memories now, and you're older than that now, of course.
Yes, I'm 65 now, and I'm still working on the memories. I still have not remembered a lot about the secret space program, but there are some experiences very early on from age 5 where I attended a nursery school, the Virginia McMartin Preschool, which had a very high-profile court case about the kids who went there, who talked about tunnels under the school. It was the most expensive court case in history. And I went to that school about 10 years before those kids involved in that case. And I don't know the details about where this happened, but I have seen that I was kept in an underground earthen room, like a cube, that was cut out maybe 8 to 10 feet cube. And there were stairs coming down to the bottom, and I was held there. And then someone came down and raped me, and I knew that was just the beginning.
How old were you when this occurred?
I think this was around 5.
5, okay.
And
was this person working for the school or for the government?
I think they were connected with the school, but I think the school was also connected with the government.
I see.
So
okay.
The memory is a little unclear. After that person left, I knew what was coming next, and I tried to get out of the room. I have a memory of clawing my way in the dirt, trying to get out, but I couldn't. And so then it was a group rape. And I think more after that I haven't remembered, probably some kind of a ritual abuse or something, I suspect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. It sounds like a classic MKUltra type program.
Yeah, I think so. I haven't specifically seen that it's MKUltra, but there's a lot of similarities to that. And then, so I think that this nursery school was connected to the military programs, and then they got a hold of me, or they looked for kids in the nursery school. So at a healing I had, I was told that 5 other kids from my class in the nursery school were also taken by the military and similar things done to them.
Now, the last time I checked, rape of a child is a serious crime, but apparently they operated outside of the law.
Yes, they did whatever they wanted. It was, yeah, whatever they wanted. They had total access. And my parents, I believe, were a bit naive. I think they thought that the military was doing positive things with me or something. And I think that they were also scared by my psychic abilities. So they said, like, here, just make her stop. Something like that. Mm-hmm. And the military, I think they would send a car to pick me up. I do have a memory of being in a park. There was a lot of grass and a little walkway, and I was holding my parents' hands. I think I was around 5. I was holding my parents' hands, and they handed me off to a man in a military uniform.
Do you remember what kind of uniform?
Yes. It was it was a brown, that brown color. He had it's like a military style hat that was flat hat, brown uniform.
Army?
What's that?
Army?
I don't know.
Army? Don't know.
Oh,
you
Army.
Know,
yeah, I don't know what those colors signify, right? I didn't say a word. I don't know if I was drugged or whatever. I didn't feel worried. I was very obedient at that time because a lot of things had been done to me. So I was very obedient. This seemed like without a word, they handed me off to this man. He took my hand, and I guess that we went away in a car.
Okay. Okay, but let's bring up your next memory of after that. What's significant after that, getting into the program?
Yes. And again, this started with age 5, and I think it went through around age 10. And around age 10, we moved away from the area. So from 5 to 10, a lot of this stuff was done to me, and it began with being tortured, raped, tortured, electrocuted. I think mixing pain and pleasure as well. Mm. So it was, you know, confusing to the brain, the mind, and they do this until you break. And they have a very defined protocol. They know exactly how to do it, and it works very well. So they do this until the person breaks. And then when the person breaks, they can insert programming into. So they put programming into me.
I see. For what purpose, do you think? And what kind of programming?
One purpose probably would be to induce fear and shut down my psychic abilities. I also think that they knew that I was psychic and that I had information like codes, access codes to ships and things like that that they wanted, but they did not get them.
Ships meaning extraterrestrial craft?
Yes, okay. Spaceships. So I think that they knew that I had the ability to stop them. I had information that could stop them. So I think that they had to make a decision to what to do with me. I think because they did not gain those codes, and so they decided to do the protocol to shut me down. So they induced fear. So I know most of my life I've been dealing with extreme fear every time I work to access my gifts, my psychic gifts.
It sounds like you were subjected to reptilian kind of techniques.
Yes. And there was a white reptilian who was present also.
I see.
And in fact, I feel that he followed me until I was about age 40. So he would follow me. I have a memory of kind of being a slave for him, that he could psychically control me. And I did things that were against my sort of consciousness, my values. But I was kind of a slave to him, and he called me princess.
Oh, boy. My friends, I've interrupted this recording that I did earlier. We'll play it next week on our next show. But good news, Simon's on the line, and I'm so happy, so glad to talk to him. Simon, how are you doing today, my friend?
Hello, Ted. You probably don't know, but there's been the most huge power outage in Great Britain that we've ever seen. That's one of the reasons, that's the reason I couldn't get hold of you. All the traffic signals stopped working, apparently. Mm-hmm. The airports have been closed. The trains have stopped running. It's absolutely phenomenal. It's nothing to do with domestic houses. They're all fine. It's all businesses have all been hit. It's absolutely incredible. So the main news are covering it. So the establishment news are covering it. And we had a power cut here, but we're back on now. So somebody is sending a message, to somebody, basically giving a warning. So I say we've had trains and airports all closed down.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Are you guys okay? Are you okay where you are? I mean, do you have...
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's fine. It's normal houses, only a very few have been affected. Mm-hmm. It's mainly the traffic signals You know, that's the first time in British history where the traffic signals have all stopped working in major parts of the country. And so airplanes have been grounded and trains have not run. So, you know, we've had power outages, but we're back on now. But the mainstream news is carrying it, so it'll be very interesting to see what excuse they use for it.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll blame it on a weather balloon like they did Roswell in 1947.
Okay. I just don't know, but I think it's to do with Brexit. I think that the different forces are fighting each other. Mm-hmm. Anyway, here I am, Ted. Here I am.
Great. Welcome. Welcome. Yes, I'm glad you're okay. I got a lot of worried emails from last week saying, is Simon okay? And I said, I don't know. I hope so. So yeah. We all sent prayers to you earlier.
Thank you very much.
So it's great to talk to you. Well, you know, we could talk about a million different things. I prepped on all these different topics, but I guess what would you like to talk about first off, Simon? There's lots of things we could, but what would you like to focus in on?
Well, it's just literally so many things, aren't there, Ted? I mean, you know, where on earth do you start? I think we think we're looking at a real opening of questions around 9/11 at government level. I really do believe that President Trump has given the green light to some form of investigation, a true investigation into 9/11. I think there's some very big changes on the way. So from a domestic point of view, I'm very excited about that. It's just so much going on. I mean, I'm sure we've got the power cuts. I'm sure that's why Britain's been hit. There is such a great deal happening right across the globe at the moment. Yeah. Things are playing out. So I don't know where to start. I think best thing really is, Ted, for you to perhaps look at some of the questions you've got, really.
All right. Well, one thing I wanted to tell you, I spoke off the record with Q recently, and he said that this November would be it would be focused in on the 9/11 investigations, and there will be tremendous revelations of people with household names that people would have never suspected they've been involved in that. And some of those people will be facing some prison time for their involvement. And it's good. It's the truth finally coming out about what really happened at 9/11. And that it dovetails what you said. So this fall is going to be a very interesting time to be alive here on the planet.
Yes, I do think so. I think I hadn't heard November, but I'd certainly heard that there was going to be some sort of investigation into 9/11. But I hadn't been given the date in November, Ted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wasn't told more than that. That's all I was told. But I'll get more updates from Q as they come out.
Sure.
Well, quickly, another set of tragic shootings, Simon, here in the United States. You wrote there can be no coincidence that one terrible shooting has followed on the back of another. And I agree with you. You're right. I don't believe in coincidence, and we should look for links and driving forces behind this so we can begin to understand who, what, where, and when. And what I mentioned earlier on my show, I went over some of the posts on your website earlier a few minutes ago. There's always a call for more gun control after these things happen. But I'm not sure if that's the answer, really, because I think there's a hidden agenda behind these shootings, and I don't think there's just one lone gunman. The gunman's usually killed, and it appears that he, typically a young man, acting irrationally and acting by himself. But I think there's a lot more going on, but I don't know what exactly.
I think you're right. I think it would be very hard to know exactly what's happening. What was interesting was that the established or some of the established media immediately started saying that the gunman was probably a white supremacist or he was a QAnon supporter. Mm-hmm. But then when they dug in, they found that he was actually a socialist, a communist.
Oh, and really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, they found one of them was you know, very, very left, very sort of strong socialist. So that's why all that comment stopped, because they were trying to, trying to paint him as someone who was fired up to be anti-immigrant or, you know, to be a sort of a racist person. But when they looked into it, they found that actually one of them at least had a very strong socialist background. So that stopped all those arguments. I think what President Trump has been saying is that he doesn't want to stop people having guns, mm-hmm. but saying that, you know, there's only an arbitrary, there's only a very cursory check into people when they give or sell a gun. So he's now saying that he wants a very proper check. And I think what will happen is basically if you want a gun, you'll probably have to go in and there may be 2 or 3 days delay now. I think that's what they'll do. Sure. So you'll go, you still get your gun, but you basically won't be able to go to the store and pick it up for 2 or 3 days
right.
while they do checks on you. I think that's how he's going to handle it. You see, the problem is that some of these people obtain guns illegally. Some of them obtain them legally. And as Trump has said, you know, it's about the mind of the person.
Right.
If someone's mental issues, right. it doesn't matter whether they've got a gun legally or illegally.
Right.
If crazy, they're going to do these things. So
right.
you know, it's not so much about their political motivation. It's basically what's going on in their head at that moment in time.
Right. That's absolutely true. Well, I'm sure you know this story about the Kennedy assassination that the U.S. State Department did a press release worldwide the day before, a day or two before the assassination on November 22nd, and they had a canned story regarding Oswald, that Oswald had a canned story about how he was the single gunman filing from the Texas Book Depository. And he'd been arrested, and that President Kennedy had been murdered. The problem with the press release is that it had all the details, the supposed details about his assassination, but it was released a couple days before the actual event, and with instructions for U.S. embassies around the world to release it on the day of the assassination. So the U.S. embassy got that in Auckland, New Zealand, Simon, and they released it all right. They released it on the 22nd of November, 1963. The problem was that on November 22nd, it actually was November 21st in the United States, and President Kennedy was still alive. And then the Christchurch, New Zealand newspaper published that press release on the front page of that paper, and you can still get a copy today from the libraries there. And it has all the details. So I don't put too much credence in what the official explanations for, you know, who this shooter was in Texas. And
what I think is shocking is that information is there in the public domain,
mm-hmm.
and yet so many people either are not aware of it or they shake their head and they won't take it on board. I mean, so much true information is there. It's a shock to me how people still are buying the old story.
Yeah.
It's incredible. It really is, and it's a great shame that people are frightened, I think is the right word. They're frightened to embrace the truth because it means they have to leave their old life behind them. So all of their world that they've built up, all the belief systems they have, they know that once they cross that river, there's no going back. And I think that's what keeps people from breaking free, the fear of change.
Right. You know, I couldn't agree with you more, Simon. That's why I love talking to you, because you've got lots of common sense, and you always have an interesting perspective on things. Let's go to India. Of course, there's been a Kashmiri dispute there between India and China for decades now. And you had an interesting post on your website. You write, with the status quo between the U.S. and India now changed because of India's closer connection to China, the situation in Kashmir has also changed. Fearing that Pakistan will become encouraged to exert more influence, India has put its part of the Kashmiri in lockdown, while Pakistan has expelled Indian diplomats. Do you think this is going to lead to more conflict there?
There's a real possibility that it will.
Mm-hmm.
You see, in the last few years, India has enjoyed a very privileged position with the United States.
Uh-huh.
And there was a big deal, a financial deal, and India decided that it would go with China
mm-hmm.
rather the US.
Right.
And from that moment onwards, I'm not saying that America's cozying up to Pakistan. That's not the case at all.
Mm-hmm.
But the special deal that had existed between America and India, President Trump cancelled.
Right.
And that then led the Pakistanis to think, okay, if the United States is no longer protecting India, perhaps Pakistan can begin to exert some influence.
Mm-hmm.
So India, and they'd had a general election, and they'd made Kashmir part of their general election campaign, and so they could say they had a mandate. But I think unless it's handled very carefully and unless cool heads are involved, there is a real chance of another conflict. I mean, they've had three conflicts since creation, and I do think we're heading towards... It's never a war in the true sense of the word. It's always a border conflict.
Right.
But nevertheless, I think we're aiming to... You know, that's where it's aiming to go.
Well, I hope they can solve their differences. I know it's been going on ever since partition in 1947, and it's such a shame, really, to expend all that energy on fighting constantly.
Yes.
So thank you so much for bringing that up. You had another post here a week or two ago on coded remarks from President Putin, and you write, this is his, President Putin's remark, you write, there are a lot of problems on Earth, so to diminish their amount, one has to go up and deep down. What do you think he meant by that?
It was clearly a coded reference to, it seems an age ago, it seems years ago, it wasn't the situation with the submarine that we had, mm-hmm. you know, the American and the Russian submarine, and he was sending a coded message basically in relation to that, talking about going deep down, as in a submarine going deep down.
Oh, I see. Okay.
He was saying there were a lot of problems. He's relating to the difficulties between the people who are good and the people who are bad, and saying that, you know, there are problems deep down.
Mm-hmm.
And he's making a reference to the submarine situation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. Very interesting. Jeffrey Epstein, I mean, you wrote some posts about him. You had a post about he's cooperating now with investigators, and he was also found injured in his cell. What's happening now with him, Simon, from your sources?
I have been told he's cooperating, but I am not convinced he's cooperating fully.
Okay.
He's facing 45 years in prison.
Wow.
But he could be given a deal for 10 years, and then he would come out and be given a new name and a new life.
Mm-hmm.
It depends. The names that he could put out, it depends whether the federal authorities already know what he could tell them, or whether he can provide new names, or whether he can provide evidence to convict people who are already well known. And I think it's the quality of his information. You see, Epstein was a mover and a fixer. He was the go-to guy. He was the one who could make things happen. So he didn't have a specific role within an organization. His role was to, you know, you went to him and he made things happen for you. He did all that. So he really will have met a wide range of people, and he have a great knowledge. I honestly, truly think there are some people on this planet that believe they're above the law. Mm. And let's face it, for the last 50 years in modern history, these people have been above the law. Mm. So it's not that they're stupid. It's that they know no different. There's only been the one game in town.
Right.
So they've always got away with it. They had no fear. And suddenly things have changed and they can't understand it. They can't understand why they're not being protected. They can't understand why the good guys aren't frightened of them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the sea change. The tide has turned. And that's a lot of these people who've got some very bad history behind them. They just don't know how to react because they've never been in this game before. They've never been on the losing side.
Mm-hmm.
They are on the losing side now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they're finding it very difficult to know what to do. And this indecision we are seeing throughout all walks of life, because mm-hmm. these bad people are in positions of power.
Mm-hmm.
They're still there. Don't don't think they're not. Mm-hmm. But the organizations they're in are all over the place. Look at the attack presently on the Dow Jones. This is not just about a trade war between America and China. Mm-hmm. It's about very evil people trying to hit the American economy and trying to damage the economy. Mm-hmm. So there's on every front at the moment, there is something occurring. And that's what I meant by it's very busy at the moment.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Simon. I guess that brings to another one. Another issue is Bill Clinton that you wrote in your website some time ago. You've got unfirm reports by an attempt by federal agents to arrest one of the Clintons. What's happened since then?
Right. I was very careful because the information I was given came from two different sources. One person wasn't even prepared to say any more than just, you know, one line, but another person was a conversation. And it looked as if somebody in an office, someone in an office had gone to somebody and said, I think it's time. Can we do it? And put all the papers down on this person's desk.
Oh, wow.
And the other person said, you know, no, I don't think we can. We're going to have to check on this. I don't think we can. So it wasn't so much, as I said, it wasn't so much that a federal agent jumped out of a motor car and put his hand on his shoulder and said, you know, I'm arresting you.
Right.
It was more that the build-up now within, and whether it's the Pentagon or I don't know where it is, but basically people are pushing for an arrest of one of the Clintons or both of the Clintons. Mm-hmm. And what the information I'd got is that there was this attempt. Now, that attempt doesn't mean that there was a fight in on the sidewalk to try and get him. I think it's a fight within the halls of power, within the offices of power. Someone is saying, we've got to do this, it's time to do it. And another person saying, no, it's not yet time. But what I said was that regardless of what it is, it shows there's a real need in somewhere to get this done. In other words, they're not pushing away from it. It's a hot topic, and we just watch this space because, you know, I think that the last time one of the Clintons put any tweets out was something like 20 days ago now. It doesn't mean that they've been arrested. It just means that they're keeping a low profile. And remember that when Jeffrey Epstein was arrested a few days later, Bill Clinton made an unprecedented press release saying that he never really knew him.
I think
there are some very, very worried people.
Sure.
Very worried.
It reminds me of Bill Clinton's statement back in 1997 when he said he did not have sex with that woman, referring to Monica Lewinsky. And everybody, of course, believed him. Bill Clinton always told the truth.
It is interesting. I mean, what I would say on that, I do remember that time quite well, was that the only reason that, I mean, Bill Clinton faced impeachment, didn't he? The only reason that was allowed to happen was because the real people in power at the time, Bill Clinton had upset them because they knew what had been going on. They knew all the history of Clinton, and so did Hillary. They knew exactly what was going on.
Sure.
But as long as Bill was doing what they wanted, they prepared to cover it. Now, it was when it was to do, I won't go into too much detail, but it was to do with drug trafficking.
Okay.
When Bill Clinton decided he wanted to do something which was against the people above him, that's when they threw him out and they said, okay, you're not going to do what we want you to do. We're going to sink you. So when these people get thrown to the mob, it's only because somebody wanted to do that.
Sure. Wow, interesting. I've gotten a bunch of questions in, and we won't be able to cover everybody's, but real quick, this is Michelle from Ireland. She wrote me some time ago. She writes that, I live in Ireland, and I've seen one day this summer without chemtrails, when it's been a beautiful blue, a rarity. And in Ireland in the past, when I was growing up, we had lots of blue skies, but not now. Is there anyone we can contact to investigate or complaints about happenings in our airspace for chemtrails?
Not really, because the problem is that the, most of the civil aviation, the civil organizations who are tasked with airspace, are not familiar with what's going on.
Okay.
So, sure. That you know, a big question for me was, a lot of these aircraft are producing chemtrails,
right?
And in 90% of the cases, the pilots of these aircraft have no clue.
Mm-hmm.
No clue. Absolutely no clue what, yeah, what's going on.
Right.
So, what is the point? It's a bit like in the 1950s. Mm-hmm. What's the point in phoning the local military base and saying, hey, I've seen a flying saucer?
Yeah.
What's the use of it? While the system is corrupt, what I think is better is that small groups of people, community groups, they go to their local media. That's sure. a much better way of doing it.
Right.
Taking photographs and saying, this isn't a natural phenomenon.
Right. Right.
What is all this? And if you bombard your local newspaper, and you bombard your local station,
right,
at some point they're going to give it coverage. And I think that's a much better way of doing it.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree with you more. Couldn't agree with you more, Simon. Another question has to do with changes in China. Of course, there's been we don't hear much about this here in the U.S. You might, I don't know if you get more information about this in the U.K. or in Europe, Simon, but there has been reports of these huge demonstrations in Hong Kong going on now, I guess, for several months. And that there's been other good democratic changes within China itself. Have you had any reports on that and any information?
Originally, it was because it looked like China was on the verge of deporting people from Hong Kong to China.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hong Kong people thought that they'll never come back again.
Right.
So it was a demonstration initially about this particular piece of legal legislation, but right, that then expanded to take in the dislike for the leader of their government.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's become a fundamental fight for, as they see it, for the freedom of the values that they have in Hong Kong. Remember that perhaps your listeners won't really appreciate this, but you see, Hong Kong was owned by Britain.
Right.
So Great Britain owned Hong Kong, and China always said it was theirs and that Britain had stolen it.
Mm-hmm.
And then some years ago, Britain gave, quite rightly actually, gave Hong Kong back to China. But right, some special laws were written which allowed the people in Hong Kong to have more freedom,
right,
than the people in China. So it's been a real problem for China, because although Hong Kong is ruled by China, it's ruled at arm's length. And I think that the Chinese have been over time looking to try to standardize the rules right across their
right,
and that the Hong Kong people have rather like their freedom. That's seeing, bless you.
Thank you.
a big upsurge, because the people who have had freedom don't want to lose it.
I have one more. We don't have time for everyone's question, but we can have enough for one quick one. My question for Simon from Bridget in Seattle has something with angels. Specifically, how prevalent are they among us? Do they take human form? Can you call upon them for guidance? Many
thanks. The answer is yes. The answer is yes to all of that.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not a great believer in the Bible, although there's a lot of truth in the Bible.
Right.
I do have a Bible here in the house, actually.
Mm-hmm.
The point is that let's just call them angels. I can't think of a better word. They are more amongst us now than they have ever been before.
Wonderful.
Because they appreciate that this is the time of change.
Mm-hmm.
And you're very free to call upon them, as long as you're calling upon them for goodness. And I call on an angel to, sure, to make my neighbor, sure, fall downstairs. I mean, we can't do any of that.
Right.
But if you have a severe attack,
right,
you call out in truth and love, then it will be answered, yes.
Wonderful. Simon, we've got about 20 seconds left, but I want to thank you so much for coming on today. I'd love to have you on again anytime soon. That's good on your schedule.
Well, power outages allowing.
All right. Well, maybe we'll try next Friday. I'll send you an email. But if you're free, okay. Love to have you back on, my friend.
All right, Ted. No, I was determined to get back. And as I say, the good forces always come through. So we did get a half an hour in.
Yeah, and we had some good commentary. And I want to thank you so much for coming on today. Well, if you like, we'll try for next Friday. And Simon, I hope you have a beautiful weekend. Thank you again for all your wonderful work.
And thanks to you and thanks to the listeners. Speak to you soon.
All right.
God bless.
Thank you, Simon. Bye-bye. He comes.